If you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Take it off.
Take it off.
Keep it on. 55 KRC, the talk station.
It's 7:05. Yeah, 55 KRC, the talk station. A very happy Friday to you. Brian Thomas right here. Happy to welcome back to the 55 KRC Morning Show. I guess Mike DeWine now has a challenger, and his name is Jim Renacci. Jim, it's good to have you back on the 55 KRC Morning Show. I hope you and your family are well.
Good morning, Brian, and thank you, and hopefully you and your family are as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was pleased to see you throw your name in the ring here to challenge Mike DeWine. I'm on radio Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 9. Got people calling in. It's a primarily political show. We talk a lot about local, state, national, world politics, et cetera. Deviate from that. But, you know, central focus, as everybody who listens knows. And so I engage in political conversations all the time, just like you, Jim. And I have not heard, the silence is deafening out there, support from the more conservative wing of the population for Mike DeWine. The only thing I hear is just outright criticism, primarily levied at him for his response to this COVID-19 situation we've been dealing with. Is that one of the reasons you're running, because of the dissatisfaction among the Republicans out there with Governor DeWine?
Well, Brian, remember in 2017, I left Washington, announced I was leaving Washington because I said Washington's broken and the only way to fix it is to strengthen our states and to make sure that we have strong leaders in our states. I believe we needed that 2.5 years ago. I didn't believe Mike DeWine was the guy. That's why I ran against him. Yes, I was diverted in the Senate race by President Trump. But look, 2.5 years later, what I thought was true is true. We have a state that even prior to COVID was not going in the right direction. And then COVID hits, and Mike DeWine decides to do some draconian things. He wants to compete with Cuomo in New York. He wants to be on TV every day. Instead of really doing what's right, doing what Florida did, doing what Texas did, doing what so many other states did, and now look what we have. We have a state that can't get back out fast enough. I think they announced yesterday Florida is stronger than it was previous to COVID.
Yeah.
And if you look at the 22 states that have come out very strong, none of them include Ohio. 19 of them include Republican states. One of them's Michigan, right next door to us, that's coming out stronger than Ohio, which shows us that Mike DeWine's draconian measures did not save lives, because we are now 50th in drug overdose and addiction and suicides. I mean, 50th.
That is not good. Okay, here's a good question. Now, you say Florida's better than it was prior to the pandemic, and I can understand one of the reasons why is because so many multimillionaires moved from the draconian lockdown states of New York and high taxation states in the world, and they shipped off to Texas and Florida and other states that welcome them. They brought their jobs and their money with them, which just in and of itself would make an advantage for Florida. I didn't hear any reports about people moving to Ohio during that period of time, Jim.
Well, it's interesting. That's another fact that your listeners should know. We're in the top 10 in states that people are moving out. Depends on the study. One study says 6, one study says 9. It doesn't matter. We're in the top 10 of states people are leaving. We're losing a congressman because we can't compete. There are so many things that this state needs to do to change. And by the way, Brian, there are so many great things in this state. But you can't have a governor who only worries about lockdowns and COVID. Yes, COVID was an issue that we had to address, but it did not mean that he had to only address one issue. You still have an economy. You still have lives. You still have jobs. You still have so many things you have to do in the state. And look at the way he continues to handle it. He travels around the state going to vaccine centers. You don't see him stopping at businesses. You don't see him talking to Republicans. And quite frankly, one of the other reasons I jumped in is I'm sitting here holding a poll that I did just a couple weeks ago that shows that he has 35% of Republicans that will never vote for him again. And he only has 16% of Republicans that will guarantee vote for him again.
Okay. And that confirms what my, you know, sort of anecdotal evidence has been. I can't find a single person who will come out and say, no, DeWine's done a great job. Here's the reasons why. I mean, my listening base is just, it seems to be generally fed up with him. And it's a shame because, you know, I guess Joe wanted me to make sure I ask you this question during the course of our discussion today, Jim. So I'll just get it out of the way right now. One of the things DeWine will not do anymore is come on the 55KRC Morning Show and talk about some of these tough questions or answer tough questions. I have nothing against the man, generally speaking, but up until April of last year, he'd come on fairly regularly. Now he can't find him anywhere, Jim, and he won't return our calls. So promise me if you end up winning the primary, you'll continue to come on the 55KRC Morning Show.
Well, Brian, one thing you'll find out about me is I'm not afraid to come on even if people disagree with me. That's how you learn. That's what you do. I go into those events with people that disagree with me, but I will agree with you. When it comes to Republican events, I don't see them anywhere. I'm on a lot of radio shows now. They're all saying the same thing. There's no Mike DeWine. I don't think he can answer the tough questions anymore because he doesn't have any answers for the tough questions.
And I get that sense myself. Now, quite a few folks are wondering where you are on HB 248, specifically the anti-vax bill. It's got a lot of support among a lot of people in the Republican Party. And I know there's some Looney Tune people that are backing this just because, well, they're Looney Tunes. There's a doctor out there. I can't recall her name. She thinks the COVID-19 vaccine makes you magnetic. So let's put away that. And let's talk about fundamental rights and liberties. The HB 248 anti-vax bill would allow us the opportunity to make our own choices and decisions, but also would prevent, and I think this is the most fundamental thing, colleges, for example, to force our young people to be vaccinated to even attend school. Now, we've got some new studies out that suggest this vaccine may cause heart problems in young men. And we're just at the beginning of the iceberg, perhaps, but are you in favor of that particular bill?
So here's what I said about that bill, and quite frankly, if there's anything I've learned in Congress, you just can't say you support a bill or don't support a bill without reading. And I have not had the time to read it in its entirety. I've seen summaries on it. I do believe in freedoms. I do believe in individual rights. I do believe that nobody should be required to have to take a vaccine.
Okay. That's a concept. That's the concept behind it. So let's talk about it on a conceptual level, not a specific House Bill 248 wording level. Is candidate for governor of the state of Ohio, Jim Renacci, in favor of blocking employers from mandating vaccinations as a condition of employment? And let me predicate that question on the fact that everyone now has the choice on whether they can get whether they want a vaccine. They have it within their own set of liberties and within modern science's ability to prevent getting the bug. So they shouldn't have to worry about whether or not you or I, our coworkers, have gotten a vaccine or not. I mean, it's a simple principle.
Exactly. And that's why I don't support vaccine passports. I don't support people, you know, asking those questions. You know, these are health issues. You should have a choice. You should have the right not to take a vaccine if you don't want to. You should have a right to get a vaccine if you want. You should have the right to wear a mask if you want. You should have a right not to wear a mask if you don't want. These are individual rights that we should continue to always try and maintain in this state. And, you know, like I said, when it comes to any of these bills, I would have to take a look at them after they were, came out of the House and Senate. I do believe that as a governor, you need to work with your House and Senate. That's another thing I've heard. Governor DeWine doesn't even talk to his House and Senate. And then you do need to veto things that are unconstitutional. But really, the House and Senate should be working the will of the people. That's what I was frustrated about in Washington. That doesn't occur in Washington. It should be the will of the people. And then, you know, the governor should decide whether there's things that are unconstitutional or not, but he should be working with the House and the Senate. When it comes to any of those bills, you know, I would support them if they came out of the House and Senate, but I'd also want to see everything that was in them, any amendments, all the changes. Again, Brian, I learned a good lesson in Washington. You got to see what all is in the bill before you decide whether you support something or not.
Well, I'm glad you agree with the general concepts, and I would like to think that any elected official, even though I know this is sort of hope against hope, I would like to hope that all elected officials would approach any legislation in that, you know, very contemplative fashion. I got to read it before I'm going to sign it. This is a problem we see in Washington all the time. They get these 2,000-page bills the day before they're supposed to vote on them, and it's like getting yourself through a Michener novel in a day. It just isn't going to happen. Now, back to the original point about folks moving from high taxation, heavily regulated states like New York and California and going to freedom-loving states like Florida and Texas. Ohio, not among them. You pointed out we're one of the big states to flee from. What does Governor Jim Renacci do to change that dynamic? What's your, I mean, the top item or items that you believe would transform Ohio to the magnet that we need to be?
Well, first off, there's a lot of work to be done. If you look at spending in Ohio, we rank in the top 10 in spending. We're going to have a budget pass with about $80 billion. Florida's budget, twice as many people is $88 billion. We need to be able to reduce our spending because it's too high. By the way, there are other states that are the same size as Ohio that have half the spending.
Yeah.
We got to get our spending down. Then we got to get our taxation down. Then we got to do things to promote. I mean, one of the reasons people leave, let's face it. And I see him in Florida. I was in Florida for a few weeks earlier this spring. People leave because, look, they say, Jim, I'm not paying all those taxes. So we got to figure out a way that the tax burden is something that makes them, it's not as hard to accept. And we got to get our tax system similar to the Florida tax system. I do believe if you look at the states that are doing the best, Florida, Texas, all of those, they have a consumption tax basis. We should get to a consumption tax. I will also tell your listeners, you can't do it today. We spend too much to get to a consumption tax. So the work has to be done to bring our spending down and then go to a consumption tax. If we were a consumption tax, we wouldn't have these people leaving and going, which is what Florida is, which is what Texas is, which is what Nevada is. If you look to the states that are doing the best, Brian, none of this is difficult. There are states doing better than us. We should be looking at what they're doing and try and implement some of those changes into our state so that we can be able to compete with them.
It's like it's like best practices, right? You look out into the world and you see what's successful and you see what isn't, and you avoid what isn't successful. It's not rocket science.
It's absolutely not. And by the way, once you do that, you can compete. Once you compete, you keep your employees, you keep your businesses, you keep people here. We just don't do enough of that. Mike DeWine is holding the steering wheel for a car that's been going in the wrong direction for 25 years. He is not a change person. He is not a change artist. He does not want to do anything. He wants to be able to just walk around and have people smile at him. That's not the role of a governor. The governor has got to make tough decisions on the economy, on taxes. He's got to lead. And leading just in one area, which is COVID, is, I do believe, what has cost him most of his Republican support. I mean, he clearly does not have enough Republican support today to win the primary.
That seems to be the case based upon everything I heard anecdotally and everything I've read. Jim Renacci, you can find his webpage. It's jimrenacci.com, Jim, RENACCI.com. He's got his solutions lined out, plan to put Ohio first, tax reform. Oh, and real quick, before we part company, Jim, I don't know if you saw the House and Senate budgets. I know that there were tax cuts in there, and talking about lowering taxes sounds like a good idea. Senate's more than the House's. But once you have hands in the cookie jar, that's when people start screaming. And we, of course, have now the, I guess, affordable housing advocates pulling their hair out over the idea that we would lower taxes in the state of Ohio. That's always the challenge, isn't it? Once you hook people up to the umbilical cord of government, you're going to hear some screaming when you try to cut it.
Well, here's one of the problems with cutting taxes, and I do agree we should cut taxes. I think they're going at it the wrong way. You got to cut spending first. I mean, we've cut taxes for the last 10 years in Ohio. It's not helped us because, remember, you still have to balance a budget. So what we've done is we've cut taxes and pushed up real estate. Real estate's up 400% in many cases, and that's how they've balanced the budget. Think about this, Brian. If your spending continues to go up, which under Governor DeWine, it's continued to go up, well, and you cut taxes, you know you have to balance a budget some way. So here's what we've been doing. We've just been raising real estate taxes. Now, thank goodness that Governor DeWine's been able to take my grandchild's. I have a 10-month-old grandchild. He's been able to take my grandchild's money from the federal government, which is exactly what he's doing to balance the budget this year. This is a shame. We are borrowing from our children and grandchildren and thinking that we don't have to worry about it because it's not our money. We got to get our spending down, and then we can cut taxes in a lot of different places. But just shifting the tax burden is not the answer.
Amen to that. Jim Renacci, well, I look forward to having you back on the program between now and the primary. I know you're going to be out there shaking hands, pressing flesh, and making your argument. Sounds good arguments to me. I wish you the best of luck. And until we talk again, best of health to you and your family, sir.
Thank you, Brian. You as well.
Thank you, sir. 719 right now.